Hello and welcome to the Trip On podcast, in which we combine architecture, entertainment and urban life. My name is Lee.
And my name is Alex, and we are an architect and themed entertainment professional who travel a lot, and we are both interested in urban development and attractions.
With this time a show about Dubai.
For visuals with what we discuss here, check our Instagram at Trip On podcast.
And of course, we have to give you a bit of context as to why do we actually talk about Dubai.
We are right now in Dubai because I've moved here because of the job. And Lee came for the Christmas time to visit me and explore the city together.
Yeah, so it's actually my second time in Dubai. The first time I was here, I was like a real tourist. I rented a car, I was staying in a hotel. This time around, it's completely different because it's more of a long stay for me. I'm visiting Alex, and I also chose to work remotely, partly. So it's a very good opportunity for me to experience the city through a different set of eyes. Also, currently we have to tell that the context is quite special. We are on the 32nd floor of a tower, which has a really good view over the very impressive Dubai skyline. It is still 28 degrees Celsius here, so it's very nice to kind of escape the winter, escape the grayness, the clouds and the rain.
I didn't experience yet the summer over here, but I'm preparing myself that it can be a tough time, and people mostly just stay inside because it's too hot to walk on the outside. Yeah, right now is the season to come.
Yeah, so let's move to the next segment where we will give you a background of the city that we are talking about. And this is a very interesting city, mostly because the city is quite young actually still. It's a big city, it has a lot of visitors, it has quite a lot of inhabitants, but it's still relatively young when you compare it to many of the other major cities on the world scale.
Yes, it is worth to mention that Dubai was established in the 18th century and it was a small fishing village. It grew into a trading hub in the early 20th centuries, and then it grew rapidly in the late 20th and early 21st century with a focus on tourism and luxury. And what we should also add is the fact that Dubai is located in United Arab Emirates, and it is the city which is one of the seven Emirates. Abu Dhabi is the country's capital, and however, Dubai is the most populous city that serves also as an international hub.
To give you a bit of context as to where you can find Dubai on the world map, Dubai is situated on the Arabian Peninsula, which is a massive peninsula. It's actually the largest peninsula in the world, which is kind of the bridge between Africa and mainland Asia. So it's really the heart of the Middle East. And on this peninsula, it shares the land with the massive nation of Saudi Arabia, Oman, Bahrain, but also Qatar. The United Arab Emirates are actually situated with sea access on the eastern side of the Arabian Peninsula, and they are situated along the Persian Gulf. And on the other side of the water, you can find Iran. And it is, as Alex mentioned, it is actually not the capital of the Emirates, but it does feel like it is the major city of the Emirates because it is just so immensely popular and well known all over the world.
Also because it has been a center for regional and international trade since the early 20th century, and its economy relies on revenues from mostly trade, tourism, but also aviation and real estate, as well we know from social media, financial services. So it's quite a popular place to be, and you can hear about it a lot.
So what also might have sparked a bit more interest into Dubai lately is because Dubai organized the World Expo, which was called the Dubai World Expo 2020, but it was actually running from 21 to 22 to make it a little bit more confusing, because in 2020 it didn't happen, of course, because of this little event called COVID, and they decided to not rename it and to stick to the name World Expo 2020. And this was a well-visited expo, which also brought a lot of people to Dubai. It wasn't as well-visited as expected. I think that's also important to mention, but we will get to some of those aspects later. And besides that, also quite recently, there was the COP28, which is the UN or the United Nations Climate Change Conference, which was held in the United Arab Emirates, and it was in Dubai. Although Dubai wasn't in the news too positively about it, because there was some controversy about the organization of it and some things that happened behind the scenes. But if you want to know more about that, definitely look it up, because there was a lot of news about it. Basically, it also means that Dubai is trying to put itself into a new light, because it has a certain image that was normally not really aligned with sustainability. And they're trying to really change that image. And I think that's one of the reasons why this climate conference was over there. For the next item, we are going to talk about the city skyline. What we mean by that is every city has a very unique, specific skyline. And it doesn't have to always mean that there is a lot of high buildings or that there is like massive skyscrapers, but every city still has kind of like a contour, which you can imagine. Some cities have a very famous contour. And I think definitely when we talk about Dubai, we can talk about the skyline, because the skyline is very, very well known all over the world.
Yes, it is mostly recognizable because of the tallest building in the world, Burj Khalifa. You can definitely recognize it on every image or every postcard, let's say. But as we were talking before, Dubai has quite some different spots with different images. And how do you see it, Ali?
So you have, the old city of Dubai, where I think the old town actually started, with the old harbor and with the old souk, the gold souk, but also where the pearl fishing happened. And then Dubai started to develop into different directions than the actual old city. So other than, for example, the cities in Europe or even some of them in the US, it's not that the city center was replaced over time by different architecture, but it's more that Dubai chose a different location to develop the city further, which means that there is a like kind of a shift of the city center that happened. So you have now the old city, and then they started to focus much more on the marina. It's mainly about luxury, very, very vertical, a lot of high towers, but also a pretty pleasant harbor area with beautiful yachts. And then you have also downtown Dubai, but I think you can tell something about it, because actually you live quite close to downtown.
Yes, downtown is a place with Burj Khalifa, fountains, where every night you have a fountain show and people gather in the center. There's also Dubai Mall, which is the largest mall in the world. You can find shops, well-known brands from all over the world. There are also parks and residential areas around the region. It's actually quite nice to walk around there.
Well, I think when you think about Dubai, especially when you haven't seen it yet with your own eyes, the image that you often see or that you are familiar with is of a very skyscraper-dominated skyline with, in general, I would say very vertical, pretty skinny towers. And it is like that, but then when you actually analyze the city as is, then you see that there is actually something else going on, which makes Dubai a bit different from, I think, many of the other major cities that are very skyscraper dominated. When analyzing man-made environments, you can talk about figural space and figural objects. And you can imagine that a city or a landscape is basically a plane, like a ground surface. And then you have all the figural objects on top of that, that rise vertically. And then you have all the voids in between that. When you look at Dubai from a macro level, and when you would be able to lay out the city in front of you, you can see that there is actually more like three main concentrations of figural objects. So imagine that you have Dubai laid out in front of you miniature, and you would be able to dial it up. You would actually be able to dial up the proportions a bit more to make the differences more clear. Then you can see that there's a massive spike, obviously, of vertical figural objects in downtown Dubai. So this is the area around Burj Khalifa. And then there's also a whole cluster of vertical figural objects in Dubai Marina, where it's also very vertical. It's like a combination of a lot of high rise. And then you have the old town of Dubai, which is a bit lower in general, which is a bit more low to mid-rise. And actually in between those three concentrations of vertical figural objects, it is generally pretty void. It doesn't mean that there is no buildings, but there are a lot of low-rise buildings, a lot of villas, a lot of residential areas. And this makes Dubai very unique, because normally you would actually see a city like this fill up much more and basically develop itself from a central area into spreading out more like an oil stain. And Dubai is a bit different in that regard, especially more land inwards. So if you go more towards the desert, a lot of the infrastructure projects have already been built. So there are many roads. But then in between the roads, you can see that there was a blueprint to actually develop a city there with residential areas, with shopping, with entertainment, with all of that. But besides the road, there is often nothing there. So it means that Dubai has been building of a lot of the infrastructure to actually let those figural objects pop up in space, but it didn't really happen. And this makes Dubai very unique on the global scale in city development.
True, and if I may add something to that, is also the fact of extending the coastline and adding the artificial islands. One of them is Palm Jumeirah, which is an archipelago on the Persian Gulf in Jumeirah, Dubai. And it's a series of islands where posh villas and hotels are located. And it's another volume that is completely different than the rest that you mentioned, actually. There are also restaurants over there and bars. It has completely different feel than the rest of the city.
Dubai is also a city which is incredibly recognizable when it comes to the coastline, because Dubai has been busy with actually winning land. This makes it so iconic when you look at Dubai from the top, which is actually quite special because the city already has a massive coastline, so apparently they even needed more. And I think there are a lot of cities in the world that would be extremely jealous to have such a long stretch of coastline.
And talking about extending the coastline, there's also another project worth mentioning, which are the islands of Dubai. Artificial islands that are shaped in the form of world.
The world islands.
Exactly, the world islands. And they are representing specific countries and continents on the map. However, this one is not as popular as the Palm Jumeirah, and only few islands are occupied by certain hotels or resorts. The rest is actually empty. We can notice this urge of extending the coastline even more by trying to add new projects. And the third project at the coastline is the Palm Jabal Ali, which is the second of three palm-shaped artificial islands. However, this one for now is being abandoned. I think the project is not being really continued.
You can actually say that from the old city of Dubai, they have been moving away further and further and further from the old city. So the last island that you are talking about, Palm Jabal Ali, is actually so incredibly far from the old city that it's almost hard to talk about one city. It's a very long ride, even by car, but also by metro. So in that regard, Dubai is to me, it feels more like a collection of investment projects than an actual organically developed city.
Functioning as a whole. That's true, because to get from one side of Dubai to the other by metro, it might take more than an hour.
While looking for a way to best analyze an experience, it was really helpful for me to be guided by a quote from a film that I really like. The film is called Perfume, or the original title is Das Parfum in German. And the quote goes like this. Just like a musical chord, a perfume chord contains four essences or notes, carefully selected for their harmonic affinity. Each perfume contains three chords, the head, the heart, and the bass. The head chord contains the first impression, lasting a few minutes, before giving way to the heart chord, the theme of the perfume, lasting several hours. Finally, the base court, the trail of the perfume, lasting several days. So now we are talking about the head, the heart, and the base. The head is the first impression of an experience, so the initial impression that you have when you are faced with the experience, and then we go into the heart, where we actually experience something for multiple hours in a row, and you get a more clear image of what the experience is like. And then lastly, the base, which is kind of the trail of the experience, or what sticks with you after you experience something. So of course, first we start with the head, the first impression. What is interesting about cities is that every city has a certain reputation or image. Some cities are very good with that because they actually put effort in creating a reputation globally, and it makes the city really well known. And it also sometimes boosts the interest in the city when you see this urban flight, when you see that people are actually increasingly choosing to live in cities because of the opportunities that it offers. And Dubai, I wouldn't say even the words, it's no exception. I would actually say, I think Dubai is kind of a role model in being really, really strong with marketing.
Yes, for sure. Dubai has this image of business city for the rich, of the city of luxurious lifestyle. It's mostly being promoted on Instagram. Since I'm being here, I can see a lot of videos and posts. You can also notice that most of the Dubai's population are expats. It's about 89%, which makes it also more cosmopolitan city in a way and globally recognized.
Dubai is actually completely operating according to its image. I think it's more stronger with this city than many, many other cities that I've seen, that Dubai seems to develop itself mainly to be Instagrammable. And they really turned that into an art. And one really good example of that is, of course, Burj Khalifa, the highest building in the world. They actually managed to build Burj Khalifa, and they have held the record for a very, very long time now of having the highest building in the world. And it seems like there are some other buildings popping up around Dubai. And one really good example is Saudi Arabia, who wants to take the crown. But that's a very troublesome project. So it seems like Dubai did stir the global stage when they actually built Burj Khalifa. And it has been a major, major tourist attraction.
We can notice that Dubai is aiming for this grand image. And everything has to be the best, the biggest, the widest. Another building I recently built in Dubai, which is the Museum of the Future. And how they promote the museum is actually stating that it's the most beautiful building in the world. So Burj Khalifa is the tallest building. Then they have the museum, which is the most beautiful one. Another example is the Dubai Mall, which is being promoted as the largest shopping center in the world. So I would say they aim for this grand image.
Yeah, they really love their records. And you see a lot of those signs and a lot of those taglines. I think it also works very well because people do post about it. They hashtag stuff like that. They actually use it as some sort of bragging right to have been to or to have visited or to have been on top of the biggest, the tallest, the highest, the only 7-star hotel in the world, the biggest indoor ski in the world, the fastest vertically launched coaster in the world. They used to have the record of the biggest indoor theme park in the world.
I have to agree that because of the blue sky and the surrounding of Dubai, the pictures look good. It is a nice environment for taking the shots, so it does look good on the photos. So if you add a nice architecture to it or pretty vistas, then the whole creates good, like, Instagrammable image.
Yeah, I think also that's maybe an important thing to mention is that when you talk about the first impression, almost everyone has seen Dubai in some sort of idealized form in images and photos. It's a bit like a postcard city, mm-hmm. where many of those photos are so, like, aesthetically pleasing, I would say almost unbelievable to see, because you see those images and you think, oh, how is that even possible? Like the building that you mentioned, the
Museum of the Future.
The Museum of the Future, which is a circular, shiny building, which is like entirely made of metal. And it is just, it looks unreal when you see it on a photo. And then when you see it for real, you're like, yeah, damn, they actually really made that thing. It's another thing is the Dubai Frame, mm-hmm. which is the biggest frame in the world, which, you know, whatever that means, but anyway, it is
but
something they're
very proud
of. This perfectly
shows how they care about the images, because they created a frame to take a photos of the city in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's really like a photo frame.
It's like a contour.
I think everyone kind of knows which one it is, even if you don't know where it is, you still probably have seen it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then you see it for real and you think, oh, it's really a big frame. Like it doesn't really have a practical function, but it's just funny to have it.
It's just a viewpoint with two elevators going up, and you can just experience the city from different perspective.
Dubai operates more on the level of what they want to build instead of what they need mm-hmm. to build.
I would say it's more about having those iconic projects than one integrated city as a whole.
It's a bit like a shop window for crazy architectural experiments. So besides the reputation and the image, there's also, of course, this first impression that you have when you see the city for the first time. So for me, it was a bit different because I was here in 2015. And I have to admit that the first time I saw the city for real, and I still remember this moment until this day, is when you actually arrive by plane and you see it from the window of the plane, you almost don't believe what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is really a city that is iconic looking from the sky. And it's very iconic also on satellite images, but definitely also when you arrive and you look down and you see this this city, which is always a little bit in some sort of like hazy sky, and you see this like crazy high building, Burj Khalifa, standing there with a bright blue body of water in front of it. It just seems so artificial and almost unreal, almost as if it's like a piece of like concept art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I still remember. That, and also when you actually are in the city and you drive around and you drive past like a wall of skyscrapers, which is definitely in front and around the downtown area, where you have this wall of very, very tall buildings left and right of you. It's just, I think it is really a situation of you have to see it to believe it.
Yes, it is impressive. For me, it was by night. We were just landing during the night time, and I could see all those lights of the city, and the city is intensely lit. All the skyscrapers, they have the lighting design on the facades, and it just looks super impressive.
So let's go to the heart of the experience. I think what is interesting is that even though, Alex, you decided to relocate to Dubai, you still didn't experience the city that much. So we were able to experience much of Dubai together.
Yes, for sure. When I arrived here, I was doing the company training, so I had completely no time to do any activities or cultural things in the city. But I also wanted to wait for Lee to come and to experience all things together, not to do it twice. We just divided days into specific activities. Some of days we were planning to go to theme parks because of our interest and profession. But also we wanted to do more of a cultural things, so to visit the old town, go to the souk area, Gold Souk. We also planned to do a bit of shopping. For that we went to several malls. We had a couple of nice strolls around in the neighborhoods. We had 1 day trip planned for the Palm Jumeirah. What I can say about the city is that you cannot be bored over here. It's a lot of things that you can do. And I believe that everyone could find something for themselves. So now, right now, I'm already talking to Lee that he has to come back again and to experience Dubai more, because there is still so much more to see and visit and to do. We were taking the metro some days, most of the time to go somewhere, but some places were not really easily accessible by metro, so we had to take taxi.
To really experience Dubai, you are often relying on taxis because Dubai is a very car-centric city, and the roads are pretty profound in Dubai. And also what you said is true, that the metro is an aspect which is definitely connecting some elements of the city, but it's only like basically running as a major line throughout this long stretch of the city. When you actually want to visit most of the places that we had in our program, you still have to get out and continue your trip either by walking or by taxi to get to your end destination.
Yes, I believe if someone decides to stay or live in Dubai, the best way is just to buy the car, because otherwise it takes quite some time to move around the city.
It is a city where, like Alex mentioned, there is always something to do. There's always an activity, there's always the next attraction that you can do. So there's definitely a lot here, because it is very much aimed for tourism. I would say definitely in the last 10 years, they've been really aiming for tourism, short stays, but also layover. So that if people actually have, for example, a connecting flight, that they would be tempted to stay in Dubai for one or more days and to actually visit multiple places in Dubai. That's kind of the hope that Dubai has, I think, as a city. And it does seem like there's so much to do now that it could really keep you busy for a number of days in a row.
Yes, it's hard to say how many days you would really need to come and to visit Dubai. It just depends on the interest and on what are the preferences. However, once you live here, I think you can never really get bored.
Maybe we are not exactly the target audience, but if you would look through a different set of eyes and you would be really looking for luxury resorts and for 5 to 7 star hotels and stuff like that, then Dubai has so many resorts where I think you can be treated like a king. And definitely, you know, this is something that we didn't experience this time around. But I can imagine that this is also for the people that are into that kind of stuff.
Yes.
This is something that you could probably come back for multiple times, because there are many high-end resorts that have a different experience.
Yes, and following that, actually, the service level is extremely high. And we could even experience it, of course, not in those hotels, but everywhere you go, the service is super kind and it's really tourist-oriented in a way.
What we also have to mention is that when you do visit Dubai, or in our case, when you actually try to a bit live your life in the city of Dubai, I think a recurring theme is definitely shopping, because Dubai is very much tailored towards shopping malls and fashion and brands. There are so many malls in Dubai. There is, of course, the biggest mall in the world, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are some of the biggest malls in the world, because even the lesser visited malls are still massive and they still have a lot to offer.
Yes, this seems like one of main activities for the local people, to actually go to the mall, stroll around and to shop. I believe it is also like that because of the weather. So when it is extremely hot outside, people have nothing else to do. They cannot really go for a walk to the park, and they just go to walk in air-conditioned supermarket or a mall.
We were definitely not, I think, the target audience to come and to spend a lot of money on fashion. We were more interested in really experiencing the city and to see attractions. And also, we are very active when we do this kind of stuff. So, of course, you can walk around and you can really get your steps in when you do go to those places. But that's not really our goal. And I think it's also when you do want to go for shopping, and when you do, for example, really like this luxury and a high service level, then I think Dubai is the space for you.
But what do you think about the food options and the food selection in Dubai?
Well, you know, what is interesting about Dubai, and it's also something that we noticed when we started to experience the city for a longer period of time, is that when people talk about Dubai and when they talk about the people in Dubai, they often talk about the foreigners in Dubai, because there are so many foreigners that I think you would be very lucky if you get to experience a lot of locals during a trip throughout the city. I think it is much more common to be continuously surrounded by foreigners, and it really depends on where you are as to which foreigners you would be faced with, because you know there's a very wide range of foreigners in Dubai for many different reasons. As you mentioned earlier, it's a business city, so there's a lot of banking, but there's also a lot of labor, but there's also still in Dubai a lot of people coming to Dubai to find fortune. And I think one of the major groups in Dubai is the Indian peoples. Of course, very interesting for us because we love Indian food. And that's also the one thing I think in Dubai, you can really eat amazing Indian food.
Really good Indian food.
besides that, I think there is a lot to discover in Dubai when it comes to food anyway.
Yeah.
Because the food offers are generally really good.
Yeah, and I would say it's extremely international. Like you said, you can have a Korean barbecue, you can have more Russian experience, of course, more Arabic from Lebanon, from Asia, anything you wish for, I would say you can really find over here.
So to give a bit of context, we celebrated Christmas in Dubai, which of course is a completely different experience from Christmas in Europe or in the West in general, I think, especially when you compare it to Poland. And Poland is generally quite cold, it's gray, it's rainy, it might be even very snowy. And there is a very strong sense of tradition in Europe and also in Poland. And what we noticed is that we had a very international Christmas. We actually had two Christmas dinners on one day. So we had one, I would say, like early in the evening, and then we had one later in the evening. And we actually made a note that we had Christmas with, amongst others, people from the Netherlands, Poland, Malaysia, Czech, Ukraine, Spain, Tunisia, Kazakhstan, and Venezuela, which is a very crazy thing to experience because there were so many different types of food. We also discussed what Christmas means to people. Some of the people even never really celebrated Christmas because it's not a thing in their culture, but they still joined in because they are very interested in this celebration, and they still brought in kind of like their interpretation of what Christmas is and their type of food that they would put on the table. It reminded me a little bit of my Christmas that I celebrated once in Sydney, which also was a Christmas that is heavily influenced by the English traditions and the American traditions. But of course, Sydney is on the other side of the world. So also it was very warm and everyone was wearing a Santa hat on the beach with a bikini on, for example. So it was totally weird for me. And also what was interesting now is that we had a turkey from the oven, which sounds very traditional, but it was in a Venezuelan turkey from the oven.
in Dubai, on the desert. But it's actually funny what you're saying about Sydney, because I had similar experience just before you came to Dubai. We went to the expo area for a Christmas event, and they were making a fake snow to make us feel like there is winter, but it didn't feel like winter at all. It was some foam or something like that.
Yeah, it seems like Dubai is more and more trying to introduce this winter feeling and this Christmas feeling, where they're often using the traditional songs. So it's very common to be in a mall and to see a Christmas tree with fake snow and to hear the song "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas" or "Let It Snow." And it just feels very weird to me because it doesn't really have a place in this surrounding where you walk out the door and it's 28 degrees again.
Yes. I had similar feeling in Sevilla once visiting a friend, when we were walking next to the palm trees and they were decorated with the Christmas lights. And I also felt like, okay, this is not really authentic Christmas experience. And I have to say, Dubai was exactly the same. Also palm trees with Christmas lights on them.
They keep on referring to to white Christmas and let it snow and that kind of stuff. It doesn't really make any sense. But I do understand why they do it, because the Christmas feeling and the fact that there are so many foreigners in Dubai, it obviously it leaves a lot of space for people who want to kind of still feel this tradition that they're used to. So it's a very interesting thing to experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, of course, marketing thing. So it has,
yeah,
it's charm.
So also another thing is that we actually experience how it is to live your everyday life in Dubai. And then you find out that even though it's known as a city for the rich, it has a very, I would say, wide bandwidth of offerings. On the one side, this very luxury, everything is like generally quite expensive, and it is all tailored for people with money. And then on the other side, there's tons and tons of stores in Dubai where there's really cheap stuff coming from China, or which is much more aimed for the local people. You can also eat really cheap at little places in the street, or when you find an area in Dubai where there's, for example, one culture represented very strongly. So it really depends on what you are looking for in Dubai, and all you can experience all of that next to each other.
Yeah, I would say it's a city of contrasts. Like, you have quite a big gap between the rich and the poor. So walking around, you can notice, of course, also the difference. And the shops that you mentioned, there are shops 1 to 10. So you can buy something for 10 dirhams, which is not even 2 euros. And they are very popular. You see people walking around with bags filled with things from there.
It gives you the opportunity to, if you live in Dubai, you can make it as crazy and as expensive as you like.
Yes. Also, what is very popular is delivery. The groceries, they can be delivered within even 15 minutes, which is quite insane. Once I was back home quite late and I was placing an order, but I thought that the order will be realized the next day. But 15 minutes later, I already had someone standing at 1 a.m. at night or 2 a.m. at night with groceries at my door. And it's quite crazy, I would say. In a way, maybe too much even.
Yeah, it does feel like a 24/7 city. I think you could, if you want, be serviced the entire day, the entire night. It's not uncommon also in Dubai to have a lot of night jobs. You know, there are a lot of people working the entire night, either in construction or either in security, or there are clubs that are going on the whole night. It is definitely a city that is going on around the clock. So we talked a bit about the heart of the experience, and I think we will also mention some stuff that that we didn't discuss yet later. But let's go to the base. If mm-hmm. I could start with my point, is that I think what did stuck with me is the Palm, and especially the Palm Jumeirah. I think what is really special about this is that it feels so different from, let's say, the Dubai mainland experience. The Palm really feels like a kind of a getaway, and kind of like an island that is a bit further from a bustling 24/7 city.
Whole island feels a bit more like a holiday destination. It's much calmer. The buildings are lower, besides, of course, the Atlantis, but the rest of the villas are much, much lower, and it's not as crazy as the whole Dubai. So I felt like the life a little bit slowed down over there, and it was quite a relaxing trip, I have to say.
What we always try to include into the episodes is our professional view on the experience, because we both have a completely different background, but we also both have a very much shared interest. Alex, you are an architect, so it's interesting for you to talk about cities from your architectural point of view. But I am also very much interested in what is on offer when it comes to entertainment and attractions. And I am also highly interested in urban development. So what stands out for you as an architect when you talk about Dubai? Because there's so much to talk about.
I can start by mentioning that Dubai was actually designed by British architect. It was John Harris. And it was his vision to capture the world's attention and to add all the investments to the project. The way it is developed, Lee already mentioned a little bit before, So the city is divided into parts, downtown, Marina, the Palm, the Old Town. All the parts are connected by Sheikh Zayed Road. And also along that road, there is the metro line that is going from one end till the other end of Dubai. And it is all looking like it was inspired by Miami or Vegas in a way to me, very car oriented, as we've mentioned before, which makes it a bit more difficult for everyday life, for just walking around, enjoying the city. The spaces are just so huge and you feel so tiny as a human in such scale. And also I would say the choice of elevation materials or the choice of materials in general in the city is to me quite surprising, because there is a lot of steel and glass. It is not really belonging to the climate where we are at. So it's not built from any natural materials that are not actually reflecting or stopping even the light, but the materials that are being used are actually making the city even hotter, which to me is a surprising choice, because while having a city on the desert, you would try to make it a little bit cooler in a way. And also the choice of having wide streets creates this feeling of openness. However, because of also lack of greenery and trees in a way in the city, you miss sometimes places to hide from the heat, some shading spots or some places, maybe even more water bodies in the city. I believe that's why we liked Marina so much, because there is water, and of course we feel naturally as people better next to the water.
Dubai is known for having sky-high entertainment ambitions. And it's really interesting because from my profession, Dubai is both known for taking risks and investing a lot. But at the same time, it's also known that Dubai is kind of failing in some aspects to become the next big thing in entertainment. And it's really interesting for me to see it as a business case and to see it as a test case, and to actually see it up close as to what is the current situation in Dubai and what is in the near future, maybe even what is changing in their vision to become this massive entertainment hub, seeing the results that they get. Besides that, I think Dubai is also a really good example of where you see that entertainment is often added to things to try to increase the success of it, because there are so many instances in Dubai where there is suddenly an attraction. Like Dubai has so many, for example, aquariums. Another thing is Dubai actually has quite a lot of coasters. Maybe you wouldn't even associate Dubai with coasters, but there's even a coaster as a standalone attraction in a massive mall that we went to. And this coaster is a pretty big coaster. It was a big investment, and it's now a standalone attraction that you buy a ticket for. And the funny thing was, when I went on it, there was no one there. There was no one in the train with me.
True, you were the only
even though
one.
The coaster was operated by 10 people or something. Yeah, it's such a crazy thing to experience.
Yes, I was the camera operator.
Exactly, yeah. You were able to take a photo of a completely empty train with one person in it. But I don't think it's a secret that Dubai didn't manage to be this next big entertainment hub in the world. And it's just interesting to see, why didn't they manage to? Because it was not so much money, or it wasn't so much ambition. I think it also has to do with the fact that you need to also have, you know, great investments, great IPs and great coasters, but you also need a certain aspect of tradition, of culture, of the willingness of people to be part of something because it is just pleasant, or because it is part of like a cultural decision that you make. And I think that is interesting. I think for everyone in the industry is interesting to look at that.
It's actually interesting that you're mentioning the parks, because we are planning to visit some of them. So I think we might make some episodes about the visits, and maybe we'll get more into details about the theme parks.
Definitely, definitely, yeah. But besides that, we can also talk, when we talk about Dubai, about the actual sense of space, as you can say. So like the way that you actually experience the city from a human scale. So a very famous YouTuber once said that in a very car-centric development, pedestrian infrastructure is often just car infrastructure dressed up as a pedestrian infrastructure. And that's something that you see in Dubai too. What you see a lot is that you're not supposed to be on ground level, outside, on street level, on foot generally. Most of the time, the city has kind of like facilitated a way to walk through the city, either through tunnels or underground or on pedestrian overpasses or by connecting several highlights through tunnels or through those treadmills that you know from the airport. And I think maybe a funny thing is that I actually mentioned to Alex, and for you, it was, I think, a new term, but I described many places in Dubai as liminal space. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The term liminal space kind of means like threshold space. It kind of means like a space in between spaces. It is not really a destination, and it's also most of the time not really a space that you want to be, but it's more like a kind of like an anonymous in between, or like a twilight space they sometimes refer it to. And for me, the reason why I described it like that is because it's a bit void of character. It's a bit void of atmosphere. So when you talk about sense of space,
it's a bit generic.
Yeah, you have those many of those instances in Dubai where it's a very, you are just like walking through a very generic steel and stone and glass tunnel in most of the time. You don't really see the face of the city. You are basically just inside infrastructure that's there to get you from A to B, and you don't really get to experience the city from a pedestrian point of view. I think in many instances in Dubai, it is better to be in a car and to drive through the city and to see the architecture from the car.
If I may add something to that, is the fact that if you take the metro to go to the Dubai Mall, you have to go through the tunnel, which takes literally half an hour of a walk just through that tunnel to get from the transport to the Dubai Mall.
Yeah, it's like you are on the metro and you are aiming to go to the Dubai Mall. You get out of the metro at the metro station that is saying, Dubai Mall, Burj Khalifa kind of station. And before you are actually there, you are walking through a massive tunnel. Just all the time walking in this tunnel. It's almost as if you're on a really big airport trying to get to the very last gate.
So, yes, because they have even those walkways.
Yeah, exactly. After this professional view, we do go to the room for improvement bit. And what we mean by this is that the city might be able to do something to make aspects way better.
As we mentioned before, definitely what the city is lacking right now is the shading. And more greenery, of course, which is difficult to keep up because of the temperature and the sun. Another thing is the transportation that we were discussing before. There is a plan to extend the metro line. However, I'm not sure for which year, and definitely it will take some time to get there, because for now it's just one line and some extra buses that you can take, but it's not enough to get exactly to the point. And as previously mentioned, more water and more greenery to make the city more lively. There is the plan for 2030, I believe, done by Sheikh Mohammed. There are some strategies, so I believe that the city is aware of the flaws that are occurring, but it might take a lot of changes and quite a lot of adjustments. And how do you see it?
Well, the one thing that stood out to me with Dubai is that even though they have such a massive coastline, I think the city is kind of underusing the fact that they have such a massive coastline. It seems like a lot of the coast has been locked away for luxury or for luxury resorts. And that's such a pity, because there's normally those coastlines are very valuable in those major cities. And what I really liked about Dubai is the Dubai Marina area, where there is like access to the open sea, and where you have those yachts in the harbor, and when you have restaurants along the coastline, etc. But then when you see downtown, the main water body is just like a swimming pool style bright blue water body, So what you also mentioned is, I think, just in general, interconnectedness. So we did talk about already the fact that the Dubai Metro is only basically running along the main road, which is like an 8-lane highway straight going through the city with like one metro line alongside of it. It really felt to me like this city was designed and built based on City Skylines. I don't know if you remember this game where you're able to build a city.
Yeah, you are pretty good in it.
Yeah, it has this typical city that is developed based on a very oil-dependent government. So you see the same with the US, where, you know, oil is a very important product for the country. I would really hope that in the future they would just connect everything more and rely less on cars. I think it would be great for the city.
Yes.
You know, if you think about it, Dubai almost had a blank canvas. They had like a very big open desert where they were able to build the best city in the world. And I think they kind of forgot throughout all those vanity projects to build a good city.
As you mentioned, the city skylines, it also feels like the city was designed from the bird eye view, but not really from the human level, human eye view perspective. It looks better from the top than actually from the pedestrian side.
It is time for Dubai to put the money where the mouth is. So Dubai has been talking about improving the city, improving green space, improving public transport, walkability, but also to lead the way in sustainability. I really hope that Dubai is going to be this exemplary role in the world to say we have the resources and we are going to be a very sustainable city, and it's going to be a city for the people. I really hope that this is going to happen. It's going to be a massive, like 180 degree, where now they start to improve on what they have. I hope that they do that and that they're not continuing to keep on building, because honestly, I think Dubai doesn't need much more when it comes to square meters or more building volumes or whatever. I think they should work with what they have right now. We generally really want to keep the podcast very positive, but there's always something that is a bit annoying or that is just making you a bit grumpy, what we experience. So in this case, we also have this thing that we can just for a couple of minutes be grumpy about something. So what is for you something that you want to be grumpy about?
I would say the thing that is a little bit annoying for me in Dubai is the access to the apps. So when you want to use WhatsApp, you cannot really make a phone call. You can use it for the text messages, but you cannot call or FaceTime. Other applications are also blocked. And it makes it more difficult for me to connect with the other part of the world and to stay connected. You can use some applications that are available here, like Botim or Google Meets, I think is working, but it makes it extra work more difficult for everyone. There are some people who are using VPN to also be able to connect. And I would say this sometimes makes it a bit more difficult. Also, maybe the internet connection is sometimes a bit tricky. Once you live here and you buy the router, you a bit have to struggle with the providers. And the other thing is also opportunity to watch the streaming platforms, because some of the platforms are not accessible. You can watch Netflix, but I believe not all the shows that are in other countries. It's like a selection of the movies. And for example, HBO is not really even possible to be used. I don't remember. I think we've tried Disney Plus, but it was also not really working that well. I think you can watch Disney Plus actually, but it was loading. But I think this was more the issue with Disney Plus. So yeah, you have to just be ready that for the phone calls it is a bit more difficult, and you're not going to be able to stream everything that you're used to.
Yeah, I think it's really challenging, because I did experience what it is like to be in Dubai and to work remotely, even though they seem to kind of promote that Dubai is a place where you can just, you know, move away from everything and work remotely and be in the sun and experience more luxury, etc. But then when I noticed that we had meetings set up, I wasn't even able to use the regular apps and software that we normally use for meetings, and we had to really find a way to connect, and it seems to be very governed, and that's just not very intuitive. I really hope that this improves. Another thing that I would like to say as like my grumpy minutes is we did experience in general when we were in the old town very aggressive salesmen. I think that's maybe something that is very typical for the Middle East, but they are so aggressive in trying to lure you in, draw you in, show you their amazing product. But you know, when you are walking in the old town already the whole day, you have no interest in seeing another shop full of carpets or something. So they are just way too proactive for me, and I don't really enjoy that.
Yeah, I think this is more a cultural thing. It's the same in the mall when they are trying to sell the perfume and they spray you literally with the perfume so you can buy it and try it on yourself.
Yeah, you walk by and they already spray it on you, and then they hope that you are going to buy it. Yeah, it's so different from what we're used to. Also, when you walk into an electronics store, for example, we had many instances where there were more employees than there were actually clients in the store. It was really weird thing to see, and you also notice that when you walk into a store, they will be standing alongside the main pathway, and they will all say to you, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. What are you looking for, sir?"
Yes, but I think it has to do with just amazing customer service, which is completely the opposite of what we're used to from Poland, where people completely don't want to talk to you and you are an interest in the space. And here they are very proactive. So for us, it's a bit surprising. And every time we're like, whoa, what do they want from me? Let's talk now about the highlights. So what would be your highlight? What will you remember?
Yeah, so that was enough negativity for today. The highlights of Dubai. Maybe also because of all the stuff that we already discussed about the city, I think Dubai is a beautiful city by night. But then I'm talking mainly about Dubai from a distance, or Dubai skyline by night. It's typical that Dubai really works as a postcard city, and it definitely works like that by night. Many of the buildings have some sort of LED installation or projections or some sort of show, even, that every night it really comes alive.
Mm-hmm. For me, what stands out is definitely the cleanliness. In the public spaces, it's extremely clean. There are people cleaning all the time, and once you go even to the public toilet, it's being cleaned just after you. So when you walk outside, it's extremely clean. You don't really see trash, and this is something different than what we experience in European cities right now, that there is trash everywhere, and after a night, and there is a lot to clean. And I have to say that Dubai is really organized in that regard. And also the feeling of safety. I would say it feels like it's a safe city. People say you can leave your phone and no one will touch it. And in a way, it is like that. You don't really have to hold on to your things to be really scared that you're going to be robbed or anything like that. Which I like, because it makes me feel more safe in a way.
When you are in those touristic places, I have to add that the toilets are really clean and very, very well maintained and even serviced. In the toilet, they are literally continuously cleaning and wiping and making sure that all the amenities are there. You would not experience that something is finished, like there is no empty towel roll, or there is no lack of soap or whatever. That's a very specific thing about Dubai, that there is in general just so much employment, and there are so many people trying to keep up everything.
I would like to also mention our trip to the Old Town and Gold Souk. It was also a one-day trip there. And to go to the other side of the river, you have to take a boat, which is local boat operated by local people, and you have to pay 1 dirham to get to the other side. And it was truly cultural experience. I think this was one of better highlights for me.
Yeah, I think this day that we spent in the old town of Dubai was such a contrast with what we have done the other days that we were in Dubai, because the old town, you can see the traces of what Dubai used to be in the past, and it was quite chaotic. And also the fact that the boat is only 1 dirham per person, and that it's like you're just sitting on a block of wood basically, and the boat is like a diesel powered boat that is like hitting the side and even hitting other boats when they are. It's such a different experience. It's the most cultural, I think, that that we have experienced when we were in Dubai.
Exactly, but it felt so authentic in a way. It was not fake with any facade over it. It was just completely local experience.
We have seen with our own eyes the latest resort addition to the city, which is the Atlantis The Royal, which is kind of like the new pride of Dubai, because it's a very beautiful luxury resort on Palm Jumeirah by the same owner as Atlantis. And I have to say, when it comes to the way that this one is laid out and built and designed and everything, it is absolutely mind-blowing how beautifully this is done. It is just incredible from when you arrive there, when you walk in. The building is amazing, the lighting, the atmosphere, the music. There's such a luxury feeling over there. There's like the opportunity to sit in the water with like recessed seating in the water. There's like torches and open fire all around you. There's like a very nice gentle jazz music playing. There are waterfalls, there's a water show, there's spray parks. It just feels like the absolute pinnacle of the luxury feeling in a resort like that.
That's true. And you don't only have a beautiful, huge hotel, but also in front of that, in front of the fountain show, you have amazing villa, which is a part of the project. And it's more, I believe, a restaurant building. It just looks incredible. The way that we described it was that you feel like you moved to the Pinterest. You're like literally in the Pinterest search, and you can see every angle in this hotel and in this project. It feels like you're just scrolling through the most beautiful designs online, and you can just see them live. It's like an exhibition in itself.
We are really into architecture, and we really like architecture and design, and especially when it comes to total design, so when it's all interconnected and everything was considered. And here in this hotel, you see that the materials, the lighting, the colors, the art on the wall, the floor coverage, it's from such a high level that for us, I think it was a feast to just walk around there. We didn't even stay there. We didn't experience what it is like to sleep there or to wake up there. But to be honest, I didn't even have to. I can see that that must be a very special experience. It was really, really impressive. Then we get to the point where we kind of want to review the experience. And in this case, it's very difficult to review a city because it's such a complicated beast. But still, would you be able to say trip off, consider, or trip on? So in this case, trip off means try to avoid this place. You know, it's not worth it. Don't do it. Consider would mean yes, if you're interested, if you like the aspects that make Dubai or any city for that matter very unique or specific, then go here. And trip on kind of means like, don't hesitate, take the plane or take the car or whatever, go here, you will love it. So this question for you, Alex, trip off, consider, or trip on?
I would say trip on. And it is because it is such a unique experience that everyone should just come and see it by themselves. And then they can decide if they like it or not. Because there are many people who say that they hate Dubai. There are also many people who say that they love Dubai. And I think it's either you love it or you hate it, but I believe everyone should see it once because it's definitely unique. The time that it was developed and the scale that it was developed, it's worth visiting and to have your own opinion about it. What would you say, Lee? What do you think?
I think I would also say Trepan. And I do have a very specific reason for that, because yes, you can say you hate Dubai or you hate, you know, this like this modern interpretation or this like car-centric modern interpretation of a city. But then again, I think it is, Dubai is on none of the levels average. It is on almost every aspect, it's very extreme. And I think it's very interesting to see that. I would say that, you know, if you hate cities like these, it's still interesting to see it, because you can actually experience why do you hate cities like these. Because Dubai is a very, very good like real life test case to see those massively like you mentioned, like from a bird eye view developed cities. And what does it do actually with your environment? What does it feel like to be in a city like this? I think it's very, very interesting for anyone to experience this. So what's next? Well, we have a couple of really, really interesting things in the pipeline. So we are talking now, of course, about the city of Dubai, but there is also in Dubai attractions that are really well known on the global scale. And, you know, I'm a bit biased because I'm working in this industry. But what is on the planning for us next is IMG Worlds of Adventure. And this is an indoor theme park, which used to be the biggest indoor theme park in the world, of course, another record. But besides that, we are visiting other theme parks in Dubai. Plus, you have to hold on for a visit to Abu Dhabi. And this will be very interesting because it means that we can actually compare Dubai to Abu Dhabi. The two cities that are often maybe considered very similar, but they are very different. And I think it would be interesting for us to highlight why are they so different. And with that, this wraps up this Trip-On podcast episode in the series Urban Life about Dubai. And this leaves us to say our tip.
Go on and plan your next trip.